This podcast is brought to you by our new Buy American Support America t-shirt, available now at howiecarshow.com. Click store. A portion of the proceeds go to Help ER Eats. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The vice president is under scrutiny this morning for visiting the Mayo Clinic without wearing a mask.
Oh, no! Oh, the humanity!
Here is your vice president not wearing a mask, touring COVID wards and testing facilities at a huge hospital. No mask.
Wow, so wrong. So tone deaf. I think it's disgraceful.
He must be stopped, held. Destroyed if necessary.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
In a tweet that has since been deleted, the Mayo Clinic said it had informed the vice president of the masking policy prior to his arrival.
As vice president of the United States, I'm tested for the coronavirus on a regular basis. And everyone who is around me is tested for the coronavirus.
Why am I not wearing a face mask now? The major reason to wear a face mask is to protect you from infecting you. I had my test yesterday and it's negative.
I thought it'd be a good opportunity for me to be here and look them in the eye and say thank you.
Critics, of course, pointing out a mask doesn't cover the eyes.
Are we being too literal?
No, you fool, we're following orders.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
As you've been pointing out in your podcasts and your town halls and other technological encounters with voters. Technological encounters.
Of the first kind. Sighting.
We'll see who's sleepy.
Technological encounters.
Of the second kind. Physical evidence.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch.
Technological encounters.
Of the third kind. Actual contact.
I had permission to hug Lonnie.
And the kids used to come up and rub my leg down, and I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. In this new reality where the government is shut down, where the economy is shut down, and the government admits that unidentified flying objects are real. And it doesn't even make the front page.
Is that the sound of an alien?
That's Grace. The Twilight Zone theme, Grace.
E.T. Fun Home.
That's an alien, right?
Grace doesn't believe that there's anything to this UFO thing. They're just these random objects that can outrun.
Oh, can I just clarify here for a second? For the people who are livid with me, and I know you're out there, I know you're mad, you cannot believe I have the audacity to say what I'm saying. I just want you to know that it's not from any point of passion that I feel this way. I genuinely do not care as much as you do about this topic for everyone out there. So don't get mad. Get glad. I really don't care. Maybe there are aliens. Maybe there aren't. Doesn't really make a difference to me. Point is, I can't go out to dinner tonight. So that's more what's concerning in my realm of the world. Not, you know, E.T. phoning home.
But, you know, the thing is, you don't want to obsess about the fact that you can't go out to dinner tonight and that you're unemployed. You know, you look for little diversions
right here
and there.
Oh, totally. But I call that the Real Housewives of New York City and, you know, bubblegum for the eyes, as you like to call it, Howie. And, you know, things like that. And YouTube tutorials on how to do my eyebrows. That's my aliens.
Okay. All right, Grace.
Different strokes for different folks. Anyway, guys, we have to get to Grace's news. We are not going to be talking about aliens. We will be talking about human beings. I want to start with Governor Andrew Cuomo.
He's a reptilian.
Governor Andrew Cuomo, he is making headlines for, of course, all the wrong reasons. He really, how he is becoming more and more, he reminds me of a combination of Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec and also Michael Scott. He does these things that are supposed to be really beautiful and meaningful, and they always just miss the mark. The most recent was he unveiled this big piece of artwork that was made up of medical masks sent from people all over the country. And this is what he had to say about it. He said, I want to show you, because you know how he's always talks in that kind of angry voice? Like he's he's teaching you something. He goes, I want to show you his self-portrait.
His Goodfellas voice.
Right, right.
So he's one of these fake tough guys. Another one.
Exactly. He's a fake tough guy that, you know, and Chris Cuomo is as well. They always say, you know, too bad Pops wasn't around. He'd rearrange your face. You know, Mom's always said, you know, don't talk to me like that. Your cheeks will be glowing. They love this kind of stuff.
Yeah, we grew up tough. I blew the LSAT, but I still got into Yale Law School. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all wonder why, Fredo.
They were scared of me. Scared I was going to come in and bang the skulls in.
Now I'm a journalist.
He says,
and I'm as good a journalist as I would have been a lawyer.
So Andrew Cuomo says, I want to show you a self-portrait that was done by American people. This is a self-portrait of America, okay? And you know what it spells?
Capiche?
It spells love. That's what it spells.
L-U-V. Love.
Lurv. L-U-R-V. Lurv. That's what it spells. You have to look carefully, but that's what the American people are saying. We received thousands of masks from all across America, unsolicited, in the mail, homemade, creative, personal, with beautiful notes from all across the country, just saying, thinking about you, we care, we love you, and we want to help. So he unveils this big, beautiful piece of artwork, and the tweets that start rolling in are amazing. Someone says, Cuomo just unveiled a canvas, a quilt, a wall hanging made of cloth masks shipped to New York by Good Samaritans. It's not clear why they have not been distributed to people yet. Another person says, what is going on with that wall of masks? I'm assuming they were donated, but why aren't they being used instead of displayed? Well, I know what you're thinking. Wouldn't this be better to use for people who are on the front lines fighting this? But then Andrew Cuomo wouldn't have been able to have that great moment where he talked about love and he yelled at reporters. And that's what it's really all about. And speaking of Governor Cuomo, Howie, there's more news. You know how when Charlie Baker goes up to speak, or when any governor goes up, or mayor, there's always a person doing sign language next to them, so right, people who are deaf can understand what's going on. Governor Cuomo has not been doing that. He has not had anyone out there doing sign language, and now he's getting...
Well, see, he doesn't need to because he yells.
Yeah.
So he yells loud enough so that even deaf people can hear him, apparently, or so he thinks, right?
He's being sued for not having a sign language interpreter at coronavirus briefings. Things are not looking good right now for the Cuomo bunch. Yeah, and I was always thinking that. I'm like, why? I understand why they have the person, and it doesn't bother me because I'm happy that deaf people can know this critical information. But it seems strange that the only time it's ever used is for local news like that. It's not really used a lot when President Trump's speaking. It's not really used a lot at other things. But I guess it's good that they use them all the time because you'll have a lawsuit on your hands. This was a couple of times he didn't use it, and they're already bringing on the lawsuits. In other news, Howie, oh my gosh, I cannot believe we didn't even lead with this story today. This is unbelievable. How you might have actually mentioned this, so let me just double check. Remember the Arizona woman who blamed Trump for chloroquine ingestion?
Yeah, she used the fish tank. She decided to have some fish tank cleaner because she saw the words hydroxy, I think.
And now she's the subject of a homicide investigation. So remember her husband drank the fish tank cleaner?
You know, there was a lot of speculation along these lines. And, you know, they said that, you know, CSI needs to take this up, or, you know, this was going to end up on one of those reality TV murder investigations down the line. And I never mentioned it at the time because I didn't want to get into that.
Yeah, like 48 hours investigates,
right,
and things
exactly,
like that, where the wives kill their husbands.
Right.
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 There's so many shows like that. So listen to what the detective said, okay? He's handling the case. He confirmed that the investigation is ongoing, but declined to provide additional details, as this is an active investigation, blah, blah, blah. Rather, they described... So the guy who ingested the fish tank cleaner was described as a level-headed retired engineer and recounted a troubled marital relationship that included a previous domestic assault charge against his wife, of which she was ultimately found not guilty.
So she's assaulted her dead husband. She had been charged with assaulting him in the past.
Yes, And it says she was a Democratic donor who most recently contributed to a pro-science super PAC. What bothers me about this is that Gary, that's the man, was a very intelligent man, a retired mechanical engineer who designed systems for John Deere in Waterloo, Iowa. And I really can't see the scenario where Gary would say, yes, please, I would love to drink some of that Koi fish tank cleaner, one of his close friends told the Free Beacon. It just doesn't make sense. In Goodman's interview, Wanda said the reason they took the fish tank cleaner was over a leg injury Gary had and the fear he could contract the disease if he went to the doctor. She found the chemicals in the pantry. The Beacon added that the concoction she made, one teaspoon mixed with soda each, was at least four times the lethal limit. So this is really shaping up to be a murder mystery.
An alleged murder mystery.
Oh, I'm sorry. An alleged murder mystery. I would hate to jump the gun on this. But once again, the media ran with this. They loved it so much. And now it's turning out to not be all that they hoped it would be. But hopefully for that man who allegedly ingested fish tank cleaner, he will get some justice in this. Guys, I want to remind you that it is the last day you can get this wonderful deal. Mother's Day's around the corner. You need to get your mom something nice. Moms are the absolute best. I hope my mom's listening now. To order 24 multicolored roses for only $39.99, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Howie. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, code Howie. Hurry, 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 hurry. You need to get this today. This offer ends today. So don't wait.
All right. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
Hi, my name is Jane Lucas, and I am from the town of South China, Maine.
This is Al from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Hey, I'm Angela from Brewster on the Cape, and this is the one and the only Howie Carr Show.
The person in life that's always been in your corner is Mom. This Mother's Day, celebrate her and thank her with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, you can get 24 multicolored roses for $39.99. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Do you believe in UFOs?
Yes, I do. Now, especially now that the government has released these videos. I mean, the videos have been out. They were leaked. But now the government has confirmed they're real. And these were recorded by U.S. military aircraft over the last 15, 20 years.
Hey, Mr. Spaceman, won't you please take me along? I won't do anything wrong.
They're purple people eaters.
One eye, one horn, flying purple people eaters. Oh, now I'm singing. I'm about to get riffed on the text line. People aren't pleased.
That's the song from the 1950s, Grace, long before you were even born.
It was on one of those Kids Bop videotapes my mom used to play, and she still sings it to this day.
Taylor, what's the question and what are the results?
Do you believe in UFOs? And 63% of our respondents say yes, they do.
Okay, that's more along the lines that you were expecting, Taylor, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Damn, where are my skeptics out there? Come
on, y'all. In the 37th percentile, that's where they are.
I guess.
You can vote. Get on board and vote. People have very strong opinions one way or the other on UFOs, so get on HowieCarrShow.com and vote. Okay, what do you got? What else you got, Grace?
Oh, Howie, I got so much for you. I've got news about a movie. So the movie Trolls came out, and they had a home release of it, and it was so successful, the home release, that they said, "Wow, we might do this more often. We might not put our movies in theaters anymore." And AMC is furious. They came out and said they're not going to play Universal movies in their theaters anymore. Because
AMC took time out from its bankruptcy filing to jump ugly. with Universal Studios?
Exactly, because they're not appreciative of the fact that this Trolls movie, which apparently the kids like, did so well. I personally would not go to see Trolls, but, you know, I don't have any little kids. I guess people were stuck at home and they were so happy that something came out that their kids would sit in front of the TV for 2 hours and watch that everybody bought it. So they're just kind of celebrating going, oh, this might actually work. And AMC, along with a couple of other AMC is obviously the largest chain in the United States, but a lot of other theater owners were very, very upset.
Theaters are plunging into obscurity anyway. This just helped them along.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I think AMC's got better things to do with its time, like worrying about the Chapter 11 or the Chapter 7 bankruptcy filing. By the way, Limerick Guy is saying he texted in at the time with the fish tank cleaner story, and he predicted this, and he called her the woman a black widow. Limerick Guy, congratulations, but you weren't the only one. I mean, a lot of people, saw red, shall we say, or saw Black Widow.
You're not Sherlock Holmes, Limerick Guy. We all kind of had something smelled a little
an
fishy.
Inkling.
Something smelled a little fishy, Taylor, because it was fish tank cleaner.
Ha, 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 ha.
The police weren't baffled for very long, apparently, by this one.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Howie, in other news, this is from the New York Post. U.S. marriage rate plunged to lowest level on record in 2018. So when I first read this, I thought, well, who cares? It only plunged because people can't get married right now because a lot of people are postponing their weddings. But no, it turns out this is from 2018, and the figures reveal that the nationwide marriage rate fell 6% from 2017 to 2018, with 6.5 new unions formed for every 1,000 people. And one of the experts said millennials are in peak marriage years, their 20s and 30s, and it's still dropping. This is historic.
They're worried about being poisoned by their spouses with fish tank cleaner.
Politics. And politics is killing these relationships. By the way, guys, I wanted to let everyone know that we are running a very special deal today on HowieKarsha.com. We have our new Buy American Support America t-shirts in navy blue. These are beautiful. I cannot wait to get them in studio because personally, I'm a navy girl. I know Howie loves that powder blue, but I love navy. These are going to go very fast, just like the powder blue ones. So go to HowieKarsha.com, and with it, today only, you will get a free Kennedy Babylon Volume 1. You cannot beat this deal. If you're really a cheap bastard, maybe you give mom the Kennedy Babylon for Mother's Day and then you take the t-shirt. But yeah, Howie, that's all my news for today. We got a jam-packed show coming up. More guests on the way.
We'll be talking about the panic of 2020 when we return. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Dr. Scott Atlas, you may have seen him on TV. He wrote a great piece last week for The Hill. The data is in. Stop the panic. End the total isolation. Leaders must examine accumulated data to see what has actually happened rather than keep emphasizing hypothetical projections. And he points out that for people under 18, the rate of death is 0 per 100,000. Of 6,570 confirmed deaths, COVID deaths in New York State, 99.2% had an underlying illness. Joining us now on the line is Dr. Scott Atlas. He is the senior fellow at Hoover Institution in Stanford University. He was professor and chief of neuroradiology at Stanford University Medical Center for 14 years before moving to the Hoover Institution. Dr. Atlas, What's your prescription for the United States government and the economy moving forward?
Yes, thanks for having me. Yeah, well, I mean, first, as you mentioned, we need to look at the facts, and just very briefly, we know the risk of dying from the virus is far lower than initially thought, and really target the restricted population of people who we now know are the older people with some underlying illness or others with underlying illnesses. So we must target any policy to protect the vulnerable people. And that means people in that category will not die, but also that prevents the hospital overcrowding that was the second goal of so-called flattening of the curve. The third big fact, before I say what to be done, is that due to the single-minded focus on COVID-19 at any cost, other people are dying. They are missing the critical medical care in massive numbers. And we're talking about serious care. We're not talking about cosmetic surgery. When they said, non-essential treatments and surgeries, that means now half of people with cancer are skipping chemo, 80% of brain surgery is not getting done, 85% of living organ donor surgery is not getting done, thousands per week of tumors are not getting biopsied, and even worse, people are holding back going in for emergency treatment, strokes, heart attacks, but also preventing their children from getting vaccinations. And lastly, the isolation is preventing broad population immunity from developing, as I can discuss. So the prescription really centers on evidence-based, targeted protection of the people who we know need to be protected and opening up in smart ways and for reasons to, because the harm of total isolation is massive, actually. We must open up and just protect the people who are vulnerable.
You're in California, and I just saw a chart today that says that the deaths from flu last year in California were much greater than the deaths that are attributed to COVID-19 this year in California. And that's even with some counties admitting that they're adding people to the death toll, who in one case in Ventura County was just recently, he died of a drug overdose, but he's listed as COVID-19. So, I mean, is this much worse than an average year of the flu or not?
Well, I think we shouldn't understate, the devastation here. And I think most people would say it's definitely going to be worse than the flu, yes. But that doesn't mean we should be avoiding all, rational thought about what to do here and locking down all society for this. We know how to target the policies. We know there's massive devastation if we continue these policies, and it's direct as well as those from economic lockdown. I mean, this is a really, we need to have science, not fear, determine the policies.
And even if you're over the age of 80, if you're a healthy 80-year-old, you have a not great chance of contracting this disease or certainly dying of it, right?
Well, I think we could say what we know about that is that there's no question you have a much higher rate of serious illness and a much higher chance of death if you get the infection if you're older. But that doesn't mean that it's a death sentence if you get the infection. I don't want to underplay the need for social distancing for the vulnerable people. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. However, maybe from the data looking at the original Japanese cruise ship, I'll just give you an example,
right,
about 40% of people who were old were asymptomatic, who were infected. Okay, so it's not a death sentence. That said, you don't roll the dice here. I mean, when you're older, mm-hmm. You have a much higher rate of serious illness, hospitalization, and a much higher rate of death.
People are now starting to talk about the Hong Kong flu from 1968-69, and they're saying 100,000 Americans died, and which is a larger toll than is going to be exacted by COVID-19. Is this not as bad as the Hong Kong flu? It's certainly not as bad as the Spanish flu. How does this rank in terms of these types of viruses that come around in the winter?
Well, we don't have the full data yet on this, and we have to realize this is a serious cause of death here. It's not really the flu, although we have underplayed in the past and ignored the fact that half a million people every year die from the flu in the world. 40,000 to 60,000 people on average in the U.S. die from the flu. This is not saying this is the flu, and you have to realize we have about 20,000 people listed in serious condition right now in the hospital in the U.S. Many of them are still going to die. We don't have the final numbers on this yet, because once you're on a ventilator in an ICU, you know, you really have a 50% chance of dying, roughly. So we're not done with this, but your point is well taken, and that is that there has been this single-minded sort of panic here. And it really is, continuing it, honestly, in total isolation is harmful, destructive, and frankly, ignoring the science.
We're talking to Scott Atlas. He's a physician, and he's a senior fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institution. Now, there's emphasis on testing. What does testing really mean, though? I mean, you're tested for one day, but you could test positive one day, and you could test negative one day, and the next day you could pick it up, right? I mean, how effective is testing? What does it mean?
Yeah, I mean, this is a very, very important question that you're asking that people are just glossing over and not thinking about. Again, we need to use critical thinking. So, I mean, I'm glad you're thinking this way. There's two types of testing. One is to test for the virus, and another is to test for an antibody to see if you have had the virus. And it is presumed, although not proven, it is presumed that if you have antibodies, you're going to be resistant. It's not known. It's not proven. That doesn't mean we throw out decades of immunology. But you're right. If you test somebody for infection and they're not positive, generally, even if you assume that means they're not infected, which, of course, there are false negatives, it's still true. You could be infected 5 minutes later. So, I mean, we have to be rational about this call for widespread testing, and in fact, it is absolutely wrong to say that we cannot open until we have everyone being tested. That is completely wrong, and there's no scientific basis to say that. I can explain if you want more on that.
Yeah, go ahead. Because I'm interested in this,
okay.
Because it seems like at these press conferences, especially last week, these were the gotcha questions for President Trump. You know, what about the tests? What about the tests? And it seems like there's no right answer here. You know, you could test people, test the whole population every day, right? And what would it prove?
Okay, so here's my thinking on the testing is that there are certain priority groups that should be tested, and that's very important. Number one is the group of people who interact with and enter into nursing homes. Okay,
right.
These are the most vulnerable people. Almost all of them have some sort of underlying condition, and they're old. And it's almost inexplicable that this has not been done, because this is a population, if you've ever walked into a nursing home, you are restricted in your access already. It's a setup to be able to be regulated. And this kind of testing, to me, it should be actually mandatory that people work in nursing homes and interact with these people and enter into those premises inside where the people are, must be tested for virus and cleared, or they really can't get in. Second group that needs testing is healthcare workers and first responders. Okay, this is sort of common sense stuff I'm saying here. But
yeah.
Healthcare workers, doctors, they cannot be in a position of infecting people, particularly when they're working in hospitals who, by definition,
right.
house patients with underlying conditions. These people must have testing. And then the third group that must have testing are the patients themselves in the hospitals, in the medical mm-hmm. centers. Because if you have a sick patient who is harboring the virus, we must know what to do with them, but also we
right.
must isolate them because everybody else not. So besides these three groups, there is no requirement in my mind for opening things up in an intelligent way, because if you have, for instance, one policy that should be in place is a recommendation. If you have a mild form of this, if you think you have the symptoms of the disease, you self-isolate at home for 14 days. And you don't come into contact with your elderly parents or whatever, you don't need a test to prove that you have that. You make an assumption if you feel like you have flu-ish, fever, cough, these kinds of symptoms. Okay, you assume you have it. There's no urgency for that. There is no urgency for people to get tested just out of curiosity or fear. That's not urgency. That's right. not a scientific reason to have a test. We do not have to have a predicate of massive, widespread testing to open up society. I want to make one more point on testing. There's this idea somehow, okay, test, 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 contact trace, contact trace, contact trace. No, that's completely wrong as a requirement to open up society, because that's something that's done very early on in the traditional armamentarium or toolbook of public health guidance. But at this point, this infection is rather widely spread. And just practically speaking, beyond that, what are you going to do with somebody who, okay, I have COVID, I was on one of the subways in Manhattan. Okay, now how do you contact trace that? That's just not common sense, logical, and there's no scientific reason.
They're making it. Yeah, I've seen people say that they're making it seem like, you know, if you have an STD, you know, they ask you who you've been contacted with. You can remember that, but yeah, you're right. If you're on a subway, there's no way to know who you may have had now, contact with.
Now, if I may add one comment, Dr. Birx is completely correct. I think she's superb, and actually, if you listen precisely to the language, that's how you get exactly what she's meaning, because that's what she's saying. There is a role for testing, even beyond what I said, with those three groups. And yes, if there's a new sort of a second wave or a new incident of this, you know, 6 months from now, we want to be prepared to do that sort of very early contact tracing from testing to you know, in case there's a small isolated population where this springs up. There's a lot of good rationale for that. But for this situation that we are in right now to determine the ending of this total population isolation, you do not need that capability.
Dr. Atlas, thank you very much for being with us. You've been very illuminating, and we appreciate it. I know you're taking a lot of grief about this piece you wrote for The Hill and your TV appearances, but stay strong and keep up the good work. Thank you. We appreciate the honesty. I'm Howie Carr.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
This is Alex from East Bridgewater, Mass.
This is Ann in Saco, Maine.
This is John Zuko from Hampton, Mass. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. I think some politicians are reveling in this. They're little power grabs. They just enjoy this. It's the ultimate aphrodisiac, as somebody once said. Power, even if it's just the power to destroy the economy, in this case, people's businesses, and just to impose their petty little rules, like wearing a mask, or you know, saying you can't go to the beach or you can't fish between 9 and 5. I've never understood that. 844-500-4242. Judy, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Judy.
Hi, Howie. Yes, I just was telling Grace that I wanted to talk about Daniel Erickson, and she said you did touch on it yesterday.
Daniel Erickson is the California emergency room physician who posted the YouTube with one of his fellow physicians talking about how he thought this was a totally overblown panic, and that it was unnecessary, and that it was being exploited, just as I just said, by politicians. Go ahead, Judy.
I agree. And he was emphasizing the fact that they have never quarantined the healthy, you know, and that the immune system gets weaker after 2 months in quarantine, and that how important it is for, you know, I'm not talking about compromised people who are 85, but younger people who, you know, what builds the immune system is the contact with bacteria and viruses, and then
right.
Your immune system gets stronger. But I thought it was really interesting that he had a ton of data, and what he was saying was that the flu, the death rate with the flu was 0.13%, and COVID is 0.003%. So the flu is actually more dangerous, and nothing has been done, you know, no one's shut down the economy for that. But
right.
He also stressed of the secondary effects of COVID that last more than a season. And he said, you know, these things last a lifetime, like child abuse
right.
and suicide.
Apparently, I was just reading the Hong Kong flu is still around. I mean, it started in 68, 69 and killed many more people than COVID-19. There were no panics. There were no quarantines. And people who were alive in 68, 69 don't even remember that it took place. But no one will ever forget this, even though it's less lethal. Thanks for the call, Judy. Arthur, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Arthur.
You know, everything with this is so upside down. Just as that doctor pointed out, whoever heard of quarantining people who are healthy, and the people who are already unhealthy, why would you go into a nursing home? Because that's a death sentence. Which Andrew Cuomo told everybody get into the nursing homes,
right?
And killed a lot of people. Then you look at the economy. What they shut us down? They shut down the people who made the economy. The government employees didn't make the economy. The people on welfare and food stamps didn't make the economy. But everybody who makes the economy pays taxes. That's what they shut down. This is how brilliant.
Right.
This government is.
And then every day the politicians try to come up with new ways to restrict people's movements. Today the mayor of Boston is talking about, well, if you're a runner or you're a bicyclist, you need to be wearing a mask. Okay. So that's today's lecture. What's tomorrow's lecture going to be? Your dog needs to be wearing a mask. Is that it? I'm Howie Carr.